Welcome to the Voice of Family Business on Capitol Hill. It's great to have you with us. With each podcast from Policy and Taxation Group, we bring you the latest news, expert opinions, and insights affecting family offices, successful individuals, and family businesses in the U.S. If you like this series, please remember to subscribe and sign up for the alerts as future shows are posted wherever you download your podcasts. In this episode, we bring you an in-depth discussion with our host Pat Soldano and Steve Prestano, founder and chairman of the Ultra High Net Worth Institute. Now, let's listen in on what these experts with over 30 years of experience in the family office industry have to say on the importance of understanding the Wealth 3.0 mindset and the 10 domains of family wealth.
Welcome, everyone. I'm Pat Soldano, founder of Policy and Taxation Group, the voice of family offices and successful individuals at a national level in Washington, D.C. We work exclusively on tax and economic issues that affect family offices and those successful individuals. Today, we have a very interesting guest with us, Steve Prestano. He is the founder and chairman of the Ultra High Net Worth Institute in New York. So the topic that takes us to this next level of thinking on family wealth and family offices is something Steve calls the Wealth 3.0 mindset. And he also talks to us about the 10 domains of family wealth. Steve, welcome to the podcast today.
It's great being here, Pat. Appreciate it.
I guess the best place to start is probably to talk to you about how you started in the family office industry, your background, your current roles, and then what led you to create the Ultra High Net Worth Institute and the concept of this Wealth 3.0 mindset?
Absolutely. Pat, as I reflect not only on my career, but even on my education, which is both legal and tax, and some of my experience, you know, it really has mirrored the evolution of the wealth management industry and the family wealth advisory profession, if you will, over this last 40 years. So, I really was able to relate, you know, to Jim Grubman, Dennis Jaffe, and Kristen Keffler's new book on Wealth 3.0 that really does review, you know, the past 40 years in this space. I personally started my career at KPMG, you know, as a tax advisor, but my primary client at that time was a multi-generational family that owned a family business that ultimately went public and had a family office. So my role, although starting off as a tax advisor, grew over the course of, you know, 5, 7, 8 years into that trusted advisor role where I was, you know, really asked to opine on, you know, personal business tax issues and other financial issues, which, you know, really opened my eyes to, you know, what being a true advisor was. I then moved into financial services in the 90s, and I had the opportunity to really build out a number of asset management, wealth management platforms for some of the larger financial service institutions. And then with the birth and evolution of the multifamily office model in the 2000s and 2010s, I built out a number of multifamily offices, which, you know, obviously focused on the ultra high net worth and family offices. So during that time, I also was consulting to my clients, both families and family offices. On the family office side, it was often on structuring, designing their family office, re-engineering their existing family offices. So I've grown to love the space. And today I continue to do that. But in addition to founding the Ultra High Net Worth Institute, I'm a partner at PKF O'Connor Davies, which actually is an international accounting firm. And I continue to do what I love, which is consulting to families and family offices, as well as senior operating executives and financial service firms.
So what led you to the creation of the Ultra High Net Worth Institute?
So there was no plan. Have to be honest there. It was just a general love of the client base in the industry. I fancied myself a student of the industry and observed for decades that even some of the largest firms that had invested hundreds of millions of dollars to serve this client segment, struggled with it. And I was asked by the Family Wealth Report to do a concluding panel at their family office summit back in 2018. And I decided to do it on that question as to whether or not there were any financial service firm business models out there that were truly satisfying the needs of ultra-high-net-worth families and family offices. And I did it from the perspective of senior operating executives that I've known and admired over the years, who had been in multiple business models. You know, the short answer was, and the answer to the question was, no. There are great firms out there. There are better business models, but no one was satisfying all the needs of this client segment. And then when we spoke with the audience and the conversation that ensued really started to focus on another age-old issue that we all were familiar with, and it's just confusion in the marketplace. Clients do not understand these business models. They don't know where to go to get their answers, and they're really just floundering as they look for new advisors, as they work with their current advisors. So the group of us continued to talk and really wanted to do something. We all had 30, 40 years of experience in the field, had tried to, you know, do the best for our clients, but had hoped now to maybe do something a little different. We knew there was a gap in the marketplace as it related to family wealth. You know, there's certainly a lot out there on the family office side or focused on the family office side, on investments, on family businesses, but nothing really looking holistically at that family wealth topic, if you will. So there was one gap there. We also felt that there were there was more of an interest in a new model for industry groups out there in terms of intellectual exchange, the opportunity to learn, and that focus versus always looking at it from a commercial perspective. We also had all been involved in many of these industry groups. So many of them are phenomenal. But there was a common theme of pay to play. And we totally wanted to avoid that even appearance of pay to play. So our discussions continued, but we decided that, number one, obviously education was absolutely key for these client segments. And in order to avoid the pay to play perception, we decided that we would also like to be a nonprofit. So we incorporated, we filed for our 501c3 status, and launched in 2019. And I wrote a couple of articles, and the Family Wealth Report actually at the end of my articles put a sentence there: watch for a educational initiative that'll be focused on ultra net worth and family office clients. And I received over 40 different emails from thought leaders, senior operating executives, interested in knowing what we were doing and wanting to get involved. And the interest just continued to grow. And by February, I think we had assembled over 60 people, some of the top thought leaders in the space, all focused on designing a business model that will benefit these particular client segments. And one of the things we looked at, and we spent some time with the Council on Foreign Relations, which is a nonprofit think tank. And we felt with the number of thought leaders, experienced, you know, experts in the space, that we really should hold ourselves to that standard. So we designed a business model that would focus just on that.
Well, I know we want to ask some other questions around trends in the family office industry, but I want to delve into the Institute a little bit more, because just as you discussed, it is a rare business model. First of all, very smart to form a 501c3 not-for-profit, but it is rare to get these experts in the industry to come be part of an organization that is not a commercial organization. It's not a pay-to-play. And now you have this amassed, this, you know, wealth of talent, and yet why are they doing it when there's no, you know, commercial compensation to them or their firms? What do you think is behind the massive energy and the participation in the Institute.
Yeah, the community that we've developed is very unusual. The common theme, without question, is just number one, the love of this client segment, the love of the space. They are all people that like to be challenged by the industry and want to help transform the industry, you know, for the benefit of these clients. But the other really interesting thing we found over the course of this last 5 years through surveys of the entire community is that people today are looking for peer-to-peer intellectual exchange, and our membership and the community of people that we have assembled that include, you know, our board members, an advisory board of over 50, faculty of close to 60, are senior experienced professionals with 20, 30, 40 years of experience. And the energy level, regardless of the type of program, event, planning that we do, is really energized by this, you know, thirst for learning, to be very honest with you. And they stand behind the mission and really hope to help us accomplish that.
Well, I want to get into that a little more, but I want to first talk about something that's near and dear to most single family offices today and trying to figure out their future. And that is, what are the trends that you see in the single family office industry? Everything related to AI, next gen, the assets that have transferred from baby boomers to next gen, all of those things.
Sure. I think first I'll start off by saying, you know, in my consulting and advisory work over the last, you know, 20 years, the role of the single family office executive has really changed and has evolved. And it has evolved very much in line with, you know, as I mentioned before, the book Wealth 3.0 and this idea of a Wealth 3.0 mindset. So, you know, Wealth 1.0 was really focused on money and really kind of financial success. Wealth 2.0, you know, in the 80s, 90s, et cetera, recognized the importance of advice. But as we're, you know, really kind of entering this Wealth 3.0, phase of the evolution of this industry, if you will, it's much more about a holistic approach in addressing the broader needs of the family across multiple domains. And many single family office executives that I work with, you know, are continually talking about that. So it's no longer about investments that they're having conversations with. It's about learning and development in the next generation. It's about social impact. It's about literally the 10 domains of family wealth, which I know we'll talk about shortly. So they are very much thirsting for a better understanding of not only these 10 domains, and the 10 domains we equate to really the primary needs of families. And those 10 needs or domains are not necessarily, you know, all, you know, at the top of mind for a family, but throughout the course of their life and throughout the course of the year, very often, many of them will come into play. And it's that understanding and holistic view and ability to integrate solutions for the clients that I think single family office executives are looking for assistance with. And that assistance is knowledge about the 10 domains, but also the skill sets required to be an effective advisor to the family, communication, EQ, collaboration type skills, things that were not focused on, you know, say 10 years ago or 15 years ago. The other huge issue for family offices, and I think everyone's aware of this though, is that of talent and scarcity. You know, they are continually in need of sourcing and hiring, and it's becoming more and more difficult retaining. And then, you know, similarly, learning and development for single family office staff, you know, at all levels is critical. Two of the other areas I would just say that are, you know, top of mind for many single family office executives, you know, and many are getting more and more involved in, you know, the philanthropic discussions with their families, but it's on the broader issue of social impact and how can they help to orchestrate that and or bring in experts for the family. And then lastly, I would say, you know, certainly, well, and maybe this falls into it, risk management today has become significantly a broader issue in terms of the various topics and areas that single family office executives need to address. And from what's happening in the world today to, as you just, you know, asked about AI, you know, how can we address all these various issues? So those are kind of the top of mind trends that I see.
So you talked about the 10 domains of family wealth. So let's get into that. And they are the foundation of the Ultra High Net Worth Institute. But talk to us about that and maybe the mission of the Institute.
Sure. So the 10 domains of family wealth, as I indicated, really do essentially equate to the needs of families over time. And there are, if you will, four domains that are really, you know, focused on wealth creation, stewardship, which include financial and investment management, you know, state planning, legal issues, tax, social impact and philanthropy, risk management, you know, as I said, was key. And then we have, if you will, a set of five domains that are focused more on the cultivation of family capital. So health and well-being, you know, longevity has now become a significant issue for many families. And there are a whole host of other, you know, topics within that particular domain. Family dynamics. These various domains, you know, I'm sure we've all seen finally an acknowledgement on the part of both the family and the advisor that they need to be addressed. And, you know, 20 years ago and 30 years ago, as I said, you know, it was about the money and not about this broader concept of how wealth can be sustained and how it needs to be sustained in a broader context. So family dynamics, I mentioned before, learning development and the rising generation, leadership and transition planning. As you look at these complex family enterprises, this is more and more important. And along with that, governance and decision-making. So these 10 domains, you know, together, if you have the right person advising you or persons advising you, can really benefit and help to sustain the wealth of this family.
So, you know, you mentioned earlier that you had this kind of light bulb moment and you realized where the industry was and what some of the needs of the industry were going to be going forward. Maybe you could talk to us a little bit more about that light bulb moment.
No, I think, you know, it really came at that Family Wealth Report conference where, you know, everyone was just focused on this issue of confusion in the marketplace and how can we help the families. And as I said, the panelists I worked with, you know, had been in the industry along, you know, side each other for 40 years and had tried to do it, you know, from their organizations. But we were really trying to find a different way and a different model that might work today to really pull together, you know, if you think about it, the most powerful people, you know, take me out of this picture, but the most powerful people in this space that can really help to transform the industry. And when I think about the mission that we ultimately designed, for me, that's the bottom line. And to help, you know, families, you know, navigate the industry, to educate them, to educate advisors, family office executives on the best way to support the clients, you know, providing an intellectual framework like the 10 domains of family wealth, and a way in which to understand kind of the content available to them was absolutely key. And I believe with the community that we've now assembled, which, you know, is in excess of 225, 250 senior people, thought leaders, senior operating executives, advisors, you know, we will have the ability collectively to really drive change, force transparency. I have examples of that that we can get into a little later, but it really excites, I think, the entire community that that is the goal.
So how does the Institute offer single-family office executives tools that address their needs, and how are they unique from other organizations that work with single-family offices?
Sure. Well, first and foremost, I guess, you know, I think we differentiate ourselves by what you described before. You know, we've assembled a group of, you know, over 100, you know, thought leaders and our faculty, our advisory board, senior operating executives with, you know, 20, 30, 40 years of experience, you know, in this space that are volunteering their times. They're also under contract. We have charters for each of them. So they value, number one, again, the intellectual exchange and being part of this community that hopefully is enhancing their both personal and professional lives. And we look at that. I look at that myself. Every day I get to talk with these individuals, my life is enriched. And I'm not, you know, exaggerating that. So through this group assembled of thought leaders and very experienced professionals, you know, we have a focus on four different areas. And that includes content and curriculum. So on the content side, we're generating original content for our membership and community. And that's both original and curated. So certainly, no, we're not the only game in town. And we owe it to our community to identify the best out there. We've built a resource library that is, we don't think there's another one out there like this particular platform that is available to our, you know, community and membership. And I think, hey, you know, we find that the single family office executives value it significantly. We are focused on programs and events. Obviously, that kind of blurs with this content focus because of the various formats and mediums that you can deliver in. But we offer a variety, you know, 2, 3, 4 different programs and events every month that are different formats, sizes, to hopefully address the various kind of learning styles that our, you know, community and membership have. We are trying to foster various ways in which people can collaborate in a meaningful way. What we've found, what we've heard from, we have an advisory board of single family office executives from some of the largest family offices in the U.S. They very much appreciate the fact that we're a nonprofit think tank and can deliver objective, you know, advice, content, tools, resources to them. Truly believe that what we're doing at the Institute is relevant globally to all families, and our network globally, and our membership is global. I think the single family office executives value that connection. Through our member portal, for example, our community can contact one another, assuming that they opt into being on our member directory, and they do it through our portal, not through their personal contacts. And the other thing we really offer that we think is of very significant value to the single family office executives we're working with and families, you know, is direct access, you know, to our family office executives and thought leaders. And we have an incredible number of single family office experts across multiple disciplines. And we've also developed a set of pillars, if you will, that our advisory board helped us to design that also focus on practice management areas that are key to the single family office executive delivering effective services to their families. So that was a lot. Sorry.
Oh, not at all. Very interesting. So, and I'd like you to elaborate a little more in this sense that you talked about some of the activities, but I know you have an annual event. As you talked about, you have advisory board, you have faculty, you have masterclass events.
Yeah.
Maybe if a single family office was interested in participating, you know, how would they participate? And you know, what kinds of things would they be, opportunities would they have to participate? And how, and again, you talked about this a little before, it's not a pay to play. So how is it different than other organizations where they can go and learn and network with other single family offices?
Yeah, so we are designing an offering that, number one, will essentially be exclusively for single family office executives. So we are not combining programs for single family office executives and advisors. Now, the single family office executives will have the opportunity to attend programs and events that that advisors may attend, but that will be by choice. Additionally, what we're going to be doing is we are offering practice management clinics, which will address a variety of the topics that I mentioned in these pillars. And these pillars are focused on services to principals, infrastructure and operations, talent, and then enterprise and stakeholder support. So very relevant topics. And then there's multiple subtopics in each of these areas. And these are going to be smaller groups of, say, you know, 12 to, you know, 18 or 20 single family office executives only, facilitated by an expert with the ability to really hopefully have some meaningful collaboration among the single family office executives. Additionally, we'll be doing something similar to what you described in terms of a symposium, a larger in-person conference, as well as, you know, developing masterclasses and other programs that are kind of top of mind for the single family office executive.
So what is the future for the Institute? Where do you see this all headed? What's your dream?
Well, I think we hope to be recognized as an organization that makes a difference. One of our advisory board members, Laurent Roux, I have to give him credit for it. 5 years ago when he joined our advisory board, said, the reason I'm joining, Steve, is because you're not only a think tank, you're a think and a do tank. So we hope to, number one, be delivering on our mission, which is helping to transform the industry for clients, and attracting the most intelligent, energized individuals in the world that want to help us to continue to accomplish and improve our mission and the industry itself.
Excellent. Well, Steve, I think our listeners have a new appreciation for the complexity and the need for understanding and transitioning existing family offices to this Wealth 3.0 mindset, which I find fascinating. It was a pleasure having you here with us today.
Appreciate it very much, Pat. It was a pleasure talking with you and being with you today.
Thanks so much, Steve.
Thank you for listening to this week's Policy and Taxation Group podcast. This is the only series devoted exclusively to the critical issues facing America's family offices, successful individual and family businesses. We hope you like this episode. Please make sure to subscribe and tell others about our podcast. Having your voice heard in Washington, D.C. and throughout the country can make a difference. We look forward to having you listen in next time.